Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Yes, indeed. Who Dat Nation. Happy game day. Steve Geller along with Jeff Nowak here on First Take. We are inside the Caesars Superdome already getting ready for that 3 o'clock kickoff, week 13 against the LA Rams. Black and gold coming off a bye week. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving holiday, folks, and hopefully we are thankful this Sunday for another Saints victory with the Riz leading the way.
Yeah, no, I was thinking this morning because as I like messed up all of my timeline and was definitely running way late and got here like 5 minutes
ago. Even though we're a later start.
Let's not worry about it. Well, but that's what screwed me up because it's been so long since we've had to do this in the Dome. I was thinking about that. Like the last time they've had a 3 o'clock start in this building was 2020.
Wow.
Because they've played 3 o'clock games,
right?
But they've been on the road, they've been whatever. The home game, technically they've had a 3 o'clock home game, but it was the game in Jacksonville. So it wasn't even in this building. And if you go back to 2020, it wasn't even really a game day in this building because the fans weren't allowed in anyway. So you really have to go back to like 2019, 2018 for a 3 o'clock game. And the funny thing, you look at it and you say, oh, the Saints don't get primetime games anymore. The 3 o'clock game is actually the highest rated slot. So those are the games that they want to put the best matchup in. And the Saints used to end up in that slot a lot. They're there this week because they're playing a West Coast team. It's not because of the ratings drop. But when you look at it and say, oh, what's the actual highest rated game of the week? It's the 3 o'clock Fox CBS window when it's the national broadcast. And the Saints have not ended up there in so long.
But they've had the 3 o'clock games, just not at home in that long. You were saying,
yeah, but
right?
they've all been like West Coast games,
sure, okay.
Which are not like they're you know they try not to force the West Coast teams to play 10 o'clock local starts. You can probably understand why. But no, it's funny, and it just like it kind of dawned on me this morning, like how long it's actually been since I've had to prepare at my house for an afternoon start like this. And I don't know, I kind of as from a selfish perspective, I don't like it because it means I work late into the night. But from a fan perspective, I have to imagine this is a positive. You know,
yeah. In general, for me too, I like to get the day going, yeah. Get the game kicked off at the noon start, and be done with things.
You got time to get food started,
right? Exactly. This one though, coming off the holiday Thanksgiving weekend and the bye, I appreciate the later start just because it took me a little bit to get going at home.
Yeah, no, I mean it's good. I'm thrilled. I'm happy about it. Let's do it.
We got obviously a big one again coming up. We could say that every week, obviously. Saints trying to win three in a row now. Mm-hmm. Can the Riz factor stay alive with Darren Rizzi leading the way? Can this team show that they still have that oomph, that energy, that bump you got when he took over as the interim head coach? And anxious to see, obviously, a Rams team. You look at the rest of the schedule, one of the tougher matchups that is left for this black and gold squad.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't grade this as the most difficult matchup left on the schedule. I'd give that to the Packers because of the atmospheric conditions that are going to go into that game. And the fact that the Packers are, what, 9-3 right now, 10-3?
This is right there, though.
But I rank this as Darren Rizzi's most important game in his interim coach role in terms of when this is all said and done, the Saints are going to do a head coaching search, and he's going to want to point and say, I did this, and this is different from what had been happening. This is what you saw with me in charge that you didn't see with other people in charge, and that would be stringing wins together, right? Like, you look at the Dennis Allen era was...
Yeah, he never had a three-game win streak.
He did. He had one. Okay. And it was in 2022, and it was weeks 15 through 17. It included that snow game in Cleveland and then the Eagles, and then he lost to the Panthers in that terrible Week 18
awful
game. That was his only three-game winning streak. His tenure was littered with two-game winning streaks, right? He, 2-0 in 2023, and they won back-to-back games against the Bears and the Colts, and then it all fell down just tragically, right? And that was the story, is every time you won two games. You know, another example is they went out to Minnesota, and then all that terribleness happened. They won games week 14, 15 last year, and then went out to L.A. and played the Rams, and it all fell down tragically.
Exactly.
This year they started out 2-0, and it was followed by a seven-game losing streak that got the head coach fired. Like, that was the story of the Dennis Allen era, is you won a couple games in a row and you could not sustain success. And what every playoff team has in common, with a few exceptions, is they were able to string wins together, right? You know what didn't happen one time during the Dennis Allen era? Four consecutive wins, right? And so this is where if you're the Saints and you're Darren Rizzi and you're trying to say, hey, this is where I put my stamp on this. We won three consecutive games, then went out to the Giants and face the most beautiful team in the NFL and possibly get on a four-game winning streak. That's significant, and that's a feather in your cap. And so you have the bye week, you have the extra time, you have the rest, you're at home, right? This is a very beatable Rams team. We got Christmas music playing. This is where you can kind of point to and say, hey, I did this differently. But if you can't, then it's just more of the same. Like, if you lose this game, then the rest of the season is like, win-win-loss. That's
same
not how
Saints,
you
right.
make the playoffs. If you don't win more than two games in a row your entire season, the most games you can win is 12. If you put a three-game losing streak in there at any point, the most games you can win is 10. Right? If you lose seven games in a row, you're pretty much shot. So you have to get on winning streaks, and that's the question today.
Looking at our LCMC health update, LCMC health, 8 hospitals, 1 promise of keeping you well. Out for this game, Lucas Patrick was dealing with a calf injury. He didn't practice all week. Also not practicing was Eric McCoy, but he is questionable for this matchup. And Darren Rizzi talked about the likelihood of having that center available for today's matchup against the Rams.
When I say that he's day-to-day, he's the epitome of day-to-day. You want to take him right to the game and see if we can get him ready. If not, we'll have a plan, obviously, in place, and we'll go from there.
Also questionable for this matchup, running back Jamal Williams dealt with a groin injury. He was a full practice at least on Friday. Also a full go all week was Tano Passanio, but he has been downgraded to out for this matchup when the Saints released some of their information for the roster yesterday. Some guys were called up in Kyle Hergel, activated from the practice squad. They've waived safety Miller Bradford, and the team also elevated wide receivers Kevin Austin Jr. and Dante Pettis to the active roster for today's game against the Rams. Obviously, we're hoping the best for Eric McCoy. I wouldn't expect him to be in this game, just playing things a little cautious with that groin injury. Obviously, he'd been dealing with that, came back post-surgery, and then re-injured things again. We don't know if it's necessarily, though, the same injury, but obviously the same type of injury that McCoy's dealing with, and kind of
same
scary,
area of the body.
Scary for
right.
Saints fans to think about.
Yeah, like same-ish area of the body that he had got worked on, so it's obviously a bad thing. And, you know, you had a whole bye week. That's where when I look at Eric and I say, okay, what's going to change on Sunday that wasn't there on Friday, right? Like, you had a whole bye week to kind of get this thing right, and if you couldn't do that then, I don't see how a couple extra days would make it that you could play. But they're going to drag it up right until game time. They signed Kyle Hergel, and, you know, he's a guy who, if Eric can't go, would be your backup to Shane Lemieux. I don't know if that's necessarily an indicator that they had made the decision as of Saturday, but it's definitely hedging your bets and saying he might not play, so we need him there. I think they probably would have done that regardless. But at the same time, it's a very, like, you know, doubtful view of his situation, and we'll have to see how it goes. I feel like they've played reasonably well with Shane Lemieux in there, so that helps your decision-making a little bit. Like, when he took over for Eric McCoy last week, they scored on three straight possessions. That's when you took over the game.
We like to hear that, right?
After struggling to run the ball for a majority of the third quarter. They played one of their better offensive games in Atlanta. You didn't lose that game because of the offense. You lost it because of mistakes. So we'll have to see there. Tano Pastrnak is interesting because I'm pretty sure he's ready to go. And he's probably a little frustrated because it's just a numbers game right now. And, you know, we've talked about this, like, the defensive end group, knock on wood, has been remarkably healthy. I think the only one to miss a game is Peyton Turner, and he's missed one game. Everyone else has played in every game, and that's Carl Granderson, Chase Young, Cam Jordan, and Isaiah Foskey, Peyton Turner. None of those guys have missed time.
Right.
So it's like, okay, how where do you put Tano Pastrnak? But it does sound like he's fully recovered from that Achilles injury. He was at practice, as you mentioned, so they got 21 days to decide whether to bring him back from IR. And one of the reasons they didn't do it earlier is because when you start that window, the bye week actually counts in that 21 days. It's the opposite of IR in terms
right, okay.
of the guys on IR that want to come back have to wait 4 games. But when you're talking about that practice window, it includes the bye week. And so they decided to wait until after the bye week so they could stretch out that window and make it fit. Because here's the thing, like I just talked about, since I brought it up, I'm sure three defensive ends are going to get hurt today, right? Like that can happen any week. And then you'll have Tano and you'll be like, well, we definitely need him now.
Right.
So he's definitely a valuable guy to have in that room, and we'll have to see. But right now it's just you're overflowing with defensive ends.
One thing that's not overflowing, Jeff, obviously the wide receiver room, and we didn't see Chris Olave all week at practice.
No, we did.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Well, I mean, he's not practicing. He can't practice yet.
But he was on the sideline, at least.
He was there.
Okay.
And he was not participating, obviously, but we did see him. And so it's. I think Darren Rizzi said he's in a good place mentally.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's going to be a question. But he's out at least 2 more weeks before he can actually return to practice, if he does.
Gotcha. And here's Darren Rizzi's update when he was asked about Chris Olave.
He's kind of still going through that whole process, you know, which is, you know, he's met with a bunch of people. He's got another meeting coming up here next week. He's met with some different specialists throughout the country, specialists at a lot of the players that have dealt with these types of injuries. But he's in a good place. Him and I, last couple of days, we had great conversations. He's feeling a lot better. And we just, like I said, with that kind of injury, just want to make sure you're doing the right thing by the person. And that's what we're doing. And I think we'll have a lot more information on him after next week.
Looking for more forward to getting that update on Olave. Obviously, you're worried about his future just in the NFL after dealing with multiple concussions already at a young age as he started his career here. And obviously, you'd like to have him back in this mix for the final run, but the overall health and his future, I guess, playing time is a lot more important than the now.
Yeah, I don't think you're really even talking about that right now. I think it's more just, hey, we're going to see where you're at. We're going to see where we're at. And, you know, if this thing goes a certain way over the next 2 weeks, it might not matter. Like, you're not bringing Chris Olave. He could be fully healthy, and the doctors are saying, go. And it's week 18, and you're out of the playoffs. You're not bringing him back.
Yeah,
like, it just doesn't make sense. I think if you get to week 17, week 18, and you're there, and you're, you know, playing, you control your own destiny, like, and that's still a possibility if you keep winning games. Then I think the conversation becomes, okay, is he good to go? And if so, yeah, we do want him for the stretch run. So it's a tough situation, and you just want to make sure that whatever decision you make has his health as the priority. Like, I don't think that you should rush him back if it's a question just because, hey, we have a shot at the playoffs. It's going to be him. It's going to be the doctors and the team doing what's right by him. But it is good to see him back with the team in terms of, you know, just being involved and being around the team. He's going to play football again. I don't think that, you know, obviously it's scary to get all those concussions. But as long as if he wants to play football again, he'll play football again. And when he does come back, you're going to have to think about, okay, what can we do differently to prevent all of these head injuries, obviously, because a couple more, and yeah, you are probably talking about career ending, and you're going to put him in the same bucket as a Tua Tagovailoa, and are you going to start wearing a guardian cap, that sort of thing. But those are conversations that we had way down the road.
Looking at this matchup today, the Rams, not a 500 team, they're 5-6 on the year. They just had a bad loss last Sunday night football against the Philadelphia Eagles, where we saw Saquon Barkley do his bidding against them. He had his way against that defense. Hopefully the Saints run game of Alvin Kamara and Taysom Hill, maybe Jamal Williams, can take advantage of that too against this Rams squad.
Yeah, it's one of those situations where I feel like if you're the Saints, you see all this stuff on film. Cam Jordan kind of talked about this. It's like you see all this stuff. It's like, wow, we can take advantage of that. We can take advantage of that. But then the Rams are looking at it like, well, we can't let that happen again.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So you're going to get the motivated version of the Rams that it's like got embarrassed by Saquon Barkley in the run game, and now you're going to get their best shot probably, and they might change some things up to maybe try to take away the run game. But, you know, we talked to Greg Beecham from the Associated Press this week, and what he pointed to that's been the biggest issue is their linebackers, and they just don't have – quality linebacker play, and they're just getting attacked, and they've been attacked all year. And so I think if you're the Saints, that's what you're going to go after, is you're going to say, hey, can you guys step in and make a tackle? Can you guys, you know, scrape and stop these outside zone run plays that we love so much? And that's going to be the case with Alvin. It's going to be the case with QB power with Taysom.
Right.
And if they can't stop it, it's going to be a long day for the Rams. Now, if you're the Saints, you have to stay dedicated to it. You can't get away from it if it doesn't work right away. Because as you saw in that Rams game, like, Saquon had a solid first half, but not like a blow-up first half. It wasn't until the second half where the defensive line kind of wore down a lot of young players that he really exploded. So it is very much kind of body blows in a fight. Got to lean on him, and eventually, you know, that dam breaks, and you can take advantage of it. But it's just a question of how many touches, how much attention do you force them to have to account for Taysom Hill and Alvin Kamara?
It is game day, folks, and 11 a.m. right now here on First Take. We are trying to wake up and get ready for today's action. I don't know why. I guess coming off that Thanksgiving break, you just feel like a little more drag to today than usual.
Oh, yeah, and coming off the bye and then Thanksgiving, it feels like we haven't watched a Saints football game in months. And, you know, you hope that the Saints come out, look like a rested team and not a rusty team. But that's always the question, the rest versus rust thing. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, I'm hoping they have more of that energy boost pre my coffee intake here than you know I have today.
Right.
Because things have been a rough start. When I hear from you, though, Saints fans, what you up to? 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. Sound off what you're doing in this game day, what you expect against the L.A. Rams. Can the Saints win their third straight game after dropping 7 in a row? Is the Riz still alive with this black and gold bunch? Is it going to be a merry Rizmas? We'll be back with more of sports talk. First Take right
nice.
After this here on WWL and the Odyssey app. Be right back, folks. Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. And hopefully Saints-giving continues and the Rams give us another victory today as the black and gold go for a third straight win now. And the Rams squad, they are a team that has been really, you talk about the seesaw this season. They've been all over the place. But that offense, definitely something scary with both wide receivers healthy and a Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, and obviously a healthy trigger man in Matthew Stafford, who if you give him enough time, we've talked about it a ton, Jeff, the guy will pick you apart because he's just that savvy and veteran presence and knows to hang in the pocket and isn't going to get, you know, all nervous and create those bad mistakes.
Yeah, I think Stafford and Carr are similar quarterbacks in the way they're going to play and the way they're going to move around. Like, both are reasonably athletic. They're not going to run, you know, but they're not like statues like a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning, right? Like, they can get outside the pocket, but they're never really looking to run outside the pocket. The stat that really stands out to me from the Rams this season, obviously they started 1-4. And then they have won 4 of their last 6, right? They had won 4 of 5 before they lost to the Eagles. The stat that stands out is you look at wins, losses. They've allowed 26 sacks on the season. In their 6 losses, Matt Stafford has been sacked 22 times, which is almost four times a game, or more than four times a game. I don't know. I don't math me on math. It's a little under four, actually.
Don't math me.
24 would be... Anyway, moving on. In their wins, he has been sacked four times. They've won five games. Matthew Stafford has been sacked four times in those games. So those stats, you know, obviously it's kind of dumbing it down, but those stats kind of tell you, hey, if you can get to Matt Stafford, you can knock him off his spot.
Right.
You can win some football games. And, you know, the Saints have been kind of in that same situation, right? In their four wins, they have sacked the quarterback 16 times. In their seven losses, they have sacked the quarterback nine times. So you're talking about four per game versus less than one per game. So I think it holds true on both sides of the equation. Go get the quarterback and you're better off. Go get the quarterback and you win a game. The Saints have been rotating their defensive ends a lot more lately, and I think that's been beneficial for them in terms of being fresh later in the game. And you've seen them close out games over the last couple weeks in ways that we hadn't seen early in the year. And I think that's a part of it, is you're getting Cam Jordan more reps, you're getting Peyton Turner more reps, so that, you know, the final drive of the game, you don't have a gas defensive line. And it's been a big part of it.
Looking at our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we got Tony from down under hanging on. Tony, how you doing, man? Happy Thanksgiving, and I guess getting ready for Merry Christmas now.
Yeah, same to you. The defense, they got to bring the wood today to knock the horns right off the Rams.
Sir.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
You know who can bring the wood for sure. We need Taysom, an outing like last game against the Browns, for Taysom again. That'd be a nice repeat performance.
Yeah, and there's, apart from the Dirty Birds, the Suckaneers and the Cowgirls, there's one team that I dislike more than any of them, and that's the team we're playing today, because I'm still angry about what happened to us in 2019 in that division no call game.
No, yeah, I think most people are.
Unless you're
the Rams, then you remember that game as, hey, we won the NFC Championship on the road. But no, I agree with you. That's I don't know. I don't go into every Rams game thinking about that no call game, but it's only when people bring it up to me that I get angry about it all over again.
That's pretty much what Cam Jordan said this week, too. He's like, no, I don't really – when I hear Rams, it doesn't immediately think NOLA no call until it's brought up.
Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I don't consider the Rams and the Saints to be this, like, crazy rivalry. I don't think that either team gets extra excited to go into it, with the exception of the fact that each of the last 2 years, these teams are actively trying to knock each other out of the playoff race. I think whoever wins this game will feel like, hey, we're still alive in this thing. If you're the Saints, you've won three games in a row, and you're like, we're rolling. And, you know, if you're the Rams, you'll be like, hey, we're 500. We're a 500 team with, you know, everything in front of us.
And a jumbled up AFC NFC West.
Right, and an NFC West that's, you know, I think the team winning is the Seahawks at 6-5. So you're right there. If you lose this game and you're the Rams and you fall back in that pack and there are three teams ahead of you that you have to pass, you look at the wild card and, you know, you're 5-7 and the Saints are now 5-7 but ahead of you with the tiebreaker. So you're behind a whole bunch of people. And so, yeah, I think this is a game where one team's going to get to decide whether they're still going to have fun things to talk about the rest of the way, and the other team's going to be talking about draft picks.
Looking back on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talking text line, we also got Jimmy from Gretna calling in. Jimmy, how you doing this game day? You heading to the game today?
Dude, I've done all my honeydews yet again.
All right.
I went to Justin Timberlake with the wife. I did that. Cut the grass. We've been putting Christmas lights up all weekend. I still have hope. I really do. Yeah, man, you know, the NOLA no call, of course, it comes to mind. Let me ask y'all this. Mm-hmm. Statistically, what are our chances at the playoffs? I mean, I know we're kind of rolling right now.
Statistically,
if you gave me a percentage, like a meteorologist, what are we, 6% we're looking at?
I think it's somewhere around 5, 6%, yeah.
All right, let me say this. Right now, tickets are $9. $9. If anybody's listening to this, $9 on the secondary market to see this game. Because we know the Rams aren't bringing fans because everyone in L.A. is not from L.A. So,
right.
And look, let me finish with this. Trevor Penning, I know I've said this before to you, you know, that I'm not going to give him a congratulations maybe, but the improvement's there. Kendra Miller, he's good when he plays. But, you know, we focus on those two a lot. It's kind of like, are these guys busts? Are they keepers or not? We've seen what's happened with Zach Bond. He's doing his thing with the Eagles now, and for it's sure. an issue with development. We see this with Penning. He is developing at a certain pace. But I want to bring up a guy that's gotten lost in the mix. What's the deal with Isaiah Foskey? All right, and you know, I always say to Bobby Hebert, never draft a Notre Dame player at any position. And I hate for this to come true yet again. But tell me what's going on with this guy. Is this guy just not ready? Like, what's the deal?
Well, it's tough to say because, you know, we talked about this with Tano Passaggio, who's coming off IR, but there's just nowhere for him to play. I mean, when you have four defensive ends in front of you that have not missed a snap, really, it's tough to get on the field. And, you know, what you'll say is he hasn't forced them to make a decision.
Right.
You know, Peyton Turner's a former first-round pick that you're trying to get a read on in this season, too. So I'm not going to say, well, I'd much rather see Foskey than him in there. But it really is tough. And I think, you know, it's more of a numbers game than anything. But we also just haven't seen him make an impact. And it's a second-round pick. And, you know, you don't mind drafting on a strength, but it does get frustrating when you get to the end of year two and you still don't really have any answers for a guy. He has been productive on special teams. You know, the head coach is certainly not going to overlook that based on where he's cutting his teeth to start the year and his job in general. So he's not going to overlook that impact, and he has played well on special teams. So, I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. And it's when you bring in a Chase Young in the offseason, and, you know, you already still have a Cam Jordan. I don't know. It's tough to look at a guy and say, well, the guys in front of you are playing, so – where are you? But at the same time, it's, you know, there's a draft investment there.
Yeah, it's pretty frustrating, I would think, for the player, for the coaching staff even, that you haven't seen this breakout yet from him. He's, like you said, made some kind of contributions, at least on special teams, but in the pass rush department, it's been a no-go.
No. And again, we haven't seen him get opportunities to rush the passer, so it's not like we could say, oh, he failed here. Like, he just hasn't been on the field.
It does say something about not getting those opportunities too, though.
I guess, but how many defensive ends are you going to play is my point. Is like when you have five defensive ends and four of them are playing and one of them is a rotational guy, like how many times snaps a game are you going to want to take Chase Young and Carl Granderson off the field?
No, I hear you there.
Now, if someone got hurt and then you like, okay, who bumps into that rotation, and you chose Tano over Isaiah, then that would be a statement.
Yeah. I'm just hoping a second-round pick would be able to show you something where you wanted to get him those snaps.
Well, I agree, but I would also want to see the former first-round pick, right? Like, it's not like you're playing a UDFA in Carl, but he's earned that role.
For sure.
Playing a guy you signed to a big free agent contract in Chase Young, so you're playing Cam Jordan, who's your team leader and veteran, future Hall of Famer, and then Peyton Turner, who I think the Saints are still trying to decide. Hey, well, do we re-sign this guy?
Right.
Right. So I think there's value there, but we'll see. I mean, I think it goes down to you've actually gotten good health luck at the defensive end position more than anything else.
What we're going to do is take a break here on First Take. When we get back, we'll get into more of our Saints sound bank here from Coach Rizzi, Joe Woods, Derek Carr, Cam Jordan. We'll be right back with more First Take. Like I said, right after this, stay tuned on WWL. Back here on First Take, reminding folks, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Cruise. Make sure you check that out online. Getting back into our coverage of this matchup against the LA Rams in the Superdome today. It's been a while, obviously, with the bye week. Black and gold trying to get three straight wins under their belt, trying to reignite something going on this season, because we were definitely down in the dumps during that skid where it just seemed so miserable and helpless at one point, Jeff. It didn't even, like, pregame coverage was even just miserable, and you didn't have much to look forward to. It's like, I can't believe we have to do this, but at least there is some kind of, we talk about a lot, that hope has been reignited.
Yeah, it was the same thing every week. You know, once you go that long, you know, you go a month without winning a game, it starts to feel like, okay, they're not winning again. You know, like, the recipe to win a game just is so far gone.
Right, they're like, finding ways to lose,
like,
literally.
It's been scattered to the wind. Like, you have to do some, you know, Disney original series to go collect all the pieces to the winning recipe and put them together. And you know, and now that you have it, it's like, hey, okay, we did it. That's what a win looks like. Let's go do it again. And so, you know, if you talk to me after the Panthers loss and said, this Rams game, do the Saints win it? I'd be like, can the Saints win it? Probably not. After the last 2 weeks, you're like, okay, we've seen it. You run the ball. You get stops. You know, you get off the field on defense. You know, the funny thing, and Darren Rizzi talked about that this week, is, you know, you look at that Rams game from last year, and the defense kind of got raked over the coals a lot.
Definitely.
You know, and for good reason. Like, they, you know, you look at Puka Nacua in that game, and that's going to be a big factor today, is can you tackle Puka Nacua? Because he had 9 catches for 164 yards. 108 of those yards were after the catch. Like, it's not like they were just completing bombs down the field. He just runs like a running back, and you were unable to tackle him. But, you know, you look at the offense in that game, and they got the ball to the Rams 42-yard line or better 4 different times, didn't score a point on any of those drives. Like, when you get into opposing territory, you got to put up points. And 4 separate drives inside the 42 to come away with nothing in a game that ended up being 8 points on the scoreline, even though it kind of took a pretty crazy rally in the fourth quarter to get there. It was not that, it was not as close as the scoreline maybe made it look. You know, you got to score. That's one thing I know, is you got to score to beat the Rams. If you don't score, you're not going to win.
Speaking of Puka Nacua, you asked Saints defensive coordinator Joe Woods about the wide receiver, and here's what Woods had to say.
Puka specifically, you know, just the way he plays, the physicality, the size, yeah, the strength, is that something you have to kind of lock in on?
Yeah, absolutely. We experienced that last year. You know what I mean? So guys know what to expect. We definitely have to play better just in terms of the run game, and we have to play better because they're going to catch the ball. Based on what they do, they try to create space. So there's going to be some throws underneath, and again, they're bigger, stronger receivers. We're going to have to do a great job tackling those guys in space as well.
Sticking with Joe Woods, Jeff also asked him about the Rams-Falcons' offensive similarities.
How similar are, you know, what the Falcons is running and what the Rams are running with Zach Robinson?
Very, very similar. You know what I mean? But I think they're in the first year of what they're doing. And, you know, Sean McVay's been there for a long time. You know, the players have been there for a long time. So they're well-oiled in terms of what they're doing.
Yeah, just from the standpoint of going against a similar offense twice already this year, is that beneficial for, you know, obviously even Alante, who's...
Yeah, it's beneficial. I mean, they're similar, but they're not the same. Right. I mean, when you look in terms of the run game, what they're doing, some of the things I'm sure they're going to copy from what teams did to attack us early in the season. But there are similarities, but they're different. I would say a little bit more complex in terms of what they're doing scheme-wise because of the experience that they have.
Yeah, looking at this Rams bunch, obviously, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp stand out, but you have some other weapons in there. Curious to find out how much involvement you're going to see from a guy like DeMarcus Robinson. Obviously, he got in some trouble with the police. I think it was driving while intoxicated, and I think the team still plans on using him today, though, Jeff.
Yeah, he's going to play. He hasn't been suspended or anything like that. And the team is not, and you know, there's nothing requiring the team to take discipline on their own player. Like, when the NFL decides they're going to discipline a guy, the Rams will do that. So DeMarcus will be out there. Obviously, not a good thing for him to have done. But from the perspective of, he's been very effective in their offense. He scored a lot of touchdowns. If you look back, you know, we keep going back to that Rams game last year. It was 10-7. Saints had the ball driving near midfield in the final 2 minutes of the first half. They go for it on fourth down. They don't get it. The Rams come down and score. It's DeMarcus Robinson who catches that touchdown before halftime. And that touchdown that made it 17-7, that changed the game. Like, 17-7 versus even if you don't score, you punt, you pin them deep, and they don't score. Going in halftime 10-7, that's anybody's game. A 10-point deficit feels a lot different. So, yeah, I mean, handling those wide receivers, they're going to throw the ball to the edges of the field a lot, but, you know, they don't push the ball downfield a ton. A lot of it is we're going to get Puka Nacua, we're going to get Cooper Kupp isolated on the edge, and we're going to see if you can tackle him. And so it's going to come down to Alante Taylor. It's going to come down to Kool-Aid McKinstry kind of stepping up and making those tackles. If you remember Rams game last year, Alante Taylor got benched. You know, he was not playing well in that game. You know, one of the reasons I asked about the Falcons is Zach Robinson, who was the pass game coordinator, quarterbacks coach for the Rams last year, he's the Falcons offensive coordinator. this year. Raheem Morris obviously was with the Rams last year. He's the Falcons' head coach. So a lot of what the Falcons are doing on offense is going to mimic what right. the Rams are doing. Now, what Joe Wood said is, yeah, that's their first year in that offense. They're not as well-oiled as the Rams are. It's basically like, yeah, you're an intern in that offense versus you're a PhD in that offense. And Matt Stafford and Sean McVay, they're going to do a lot of things that the Falcons might not even be capable of at this point in their progression of that offense. But I do think that, you know, you've gone against a scheme that's similar in terms of all the motions and the shifts, all training camp. Like, it's your offense now, essentially. It's the same tree of offensive systems. And you played the Falcons twice. You look pretty good in those games against the Falcons. So that should give you a little more confidence that you'll be able to handle this with a lot more time to prepare. Last year, that was a Thursday game. This year, you have two full weeks to kind of get your plan ready. I'm hopeful to see them handle it a lot better.
Looking at the Rams injury situation, they are without their tight end and Tyler Higbee, who's dealing with a knee issue. Also out is offensive lineman KT Leviston, and questionable for them, outside linebacker Nick Hampton, and then also another offensive lineman in Ulrich Jackson, who is dealing with a foot injury. Didn't practice all week. So they still have a lot of their weapons still in place. Obviously the tight end, a question mark there, but it wasn't like Tyler Higbee was this huge game changer for them anyway.
No, tight end isn't the position that I look at as, okay, the Saints have struggled to cover tight ends,
sure,
so how
right.
are they going to cover this guy? I don't think that's going to be a factor today. It's going to come down to Puka. I think if you can limit Puka's run after the catch, if you can get him to the ground at the edges of the field, then I think you're in really good shape. But if he's constantly moving the chains, right, if you're in 3rd and 3 instead of 3rd and 8 because they're able to just steal 4 or 5 yards on first down over and over and over again, so you're going to have to be aggressive. You're going to have to get up on him, and then you open yourself up on the back end. So, you know, it's a tough matchup. It really is. And that's why you got to put up points. Like, they're going to get theirs. You're not going to shut down this offense all day long. Like, you're going to have to score with them. So it's got to be both sides of the ball.
Yeah, we talked about obviously a lot about their passing game. The run game, too, will be something dangerous. And we heard, Jimmy saying about drafting players from Notre Dame. Running back Kyren Williams has been pretty darn good, though, for the Rams, although he's had some ball security issues this year. That hopefully the Saints can take advantage of, especially today's kickoff at 3 o'clock coming up here on WWL Saints Radio. I know he leads the NFL in fumbles, so hopefully we'll add to that statistic today when we take on the Rams. Going to take a break. We'll be back with more of First Take, getting ready also for the Bud Light Countdown to kickoff when the Cajun Cannon will join us at 1 o'clock, and then Game Time with Mike Hoss, Deuce McAllister, and Jeff Nowak on the sidelines. 3:05 start here in the Caesars Superdome. I'm going to take a break and be right back with more, so stay tuned after this here on WWL. Welcome back into First Take as we get ready for the Saints taking on the LA Rams. A 3:05 kickoff here in the Caesars Superdome. We've got the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at 1 o'clock with the Cajun Cannon. Looking at some of the actives and inactives today, Jeff, Adam Schefter just put out there one, obviously, that Saints fans will be interested in. Inactive, what is this now, a third straight week for Marshawn Lattimore, not playing the Commanders, but he did at least have his first practice of the week with the team, but he's not ready for game action yet.
The Commanders fans have to be, like, livid, because it's not
what
only –
what the hell did we give up for this guy?
Not only is he not playing, they're losing games.
Right.
Who are they playing this week?
Let me double check real
quick. We have
to
look. But, you know, the Commanders have not won, and the Saints have not lost since they made that trade. they're playing the Titans, so they should win today. But if they lose this game, I mean, jeez. And the Titans won last week, I believe. I think Will Levis is playing a little better lately.
Yeah, he did. They beat the Texans.
So, you know, maybe if they lose that game, because I think they've lost 3 in a row, and, you know, 7-5, suddenly I think they were 7-2 at one point, right? So, you know, that season, since they've made that trade, has started to come off the rails a little bit. And the guy you've traded for, you made this blockbuster trade, is not playing.
No, and I know that was obviously a big question here, was Marshawn kind of playing rope-a-dope and not being honest with his injury, and it looks like that's not the case,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think that was the case at the time, but I know a lot of people were questioning it, but I think now you're looking like, okay, maybe he wasn't milking that because he still hasn't played, so anyway.
You mentioned they're playing the Tennessee Titans today. They will have, and I say they, the Titans will have Tajay Spears. He will be active today for them. Also looking at some of the names, at least for fantasy footballers out there, Trevor Lawrence is active. Also a Breece Hall, who I definitely have on my squad, Jeff, but I'm still worried about that injury with him, how much it's going to limit him in today's game. But, you know, when you come to this point of the season too, is it really worth sitting a guy of that kind of caliber on your bench, or you take that risk and still put him in the lineup?
Yeah, this is the time of the year where you play your stars.
Yeah, right?
It's just the Jets are just, you know. I play the players in the games I want to watch. How about that? You know, like, if you're the Jets and you're that terrible, like, but he's still Breece Hall, so.
Taking a break for our top of the hour news, and we'll get back with another hour of First Take. So stay tuned right here, folks, on WWL Saints Radio. Be back after.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This. We're rocking and rolling here on First Take. High noon, folks, as we get ready for that 3 o'clock start in the Caesars Superdome. Definitely not used to that as we got game actions around the NFL.
I'm very distracted. Right now. If it sounds like I'm distracted, it's because there's seven games going on. Oh, God.
And there's a TV to the left of us with one game and to the right with another.
But not the one game I actually want to watch, which is the Falcons Chargers game. But either way, we'll keep an eye on that. Falcons are driving. Kirk Cousins ran for a first down. How about that?
Not Bijan.
I don't think he ran very fast, but he did run for a first down. Anyway.
We'll definitely be keeping an eye on that one. Has a lot to do, a lot of concern for black and gold implications. Be nice to hand those Dirty Birds a third straight loss. They're on the opposite of what the Saints have been going through last, obviously. They went into the bye losing two straight, where the Saints went into their bye having won two straight after making that head coaching change. And I know, you know, we talk about this a lot, Jeff. Sometimes the weeks just blend together, but it sure seems more than just a three-week stint now, including the bye week, that, you know, they've moved on from the Dennis Allen era of things, and we've been implementing Rizzy ball here.
Yeah, and no, and this is definitely the time of year where you're looking at other games and, like, very much rooting for specific teams to lose. And it seems like we've been there every year for the last 5 years, whether it's been for a seed or whether it's been for making the playoffs at all, because Saints really want the Falcons to pick up another loss. They're about to kick a field goal in the red zone there. You know, the Cardinals are 6-5. They're playing the Vikings. They're up 3-0. You kind of want the Cardinals to keep falling back because there's really only one wild card spot that's in play. And, I mean, like, obviously there's two more, but the Saints can only get to 10 wins at best. And you've got two wild card teams that already have 9 wins in the Vikings and the Commanders. So if either one of those teams wins two more games the rest of the way, that spot is out of play for the Saints. So it's a really kind of weird thing, but you just gotta root for the Commanders to keep losing. You gotta root for all these 6-5 win teams to keep losing. The good news is in between the Commanders and the rest of the pack is not really
that's what
anybody.
I'm looking at right here.
There's no one that's really sitting there like 7-4, you know, or 8-6 really. So, you know, it's a tough spot to be in. But all you can do is go out there and win your games. And what I will say is, I did look this up, going back 10 years. Only three times has a 10-win team missed the postseason. One of those was the Dolphins in 2020, which was the last year before they added the extra wild card spot. Then you go back to 2015, it was the Jets. You go back to 2014, it was the Eagles. All three of those teams in the current format would have made the playoffs. They were the first team out of the picture. So if the Saints got to 10 wins and didn't make the playoffs, they would be the first team since expanding to the 7-seed format to miss the playoffs with 10 wins. So it's never happened before in this format. So, I mean, it does not say it can't happen, but, you know, if you went out and you get to 10 wins, you should feel like, yeah, okay.
Someone who's been pretty okay for this Saints squad these last couple of weeks, Derek Carr, at quarterback, I don't think gets enough credit. We were quick to pile on any kind of angst or, yeah, you know, any kind of ill will towards the QB of the Saints. We definitely missed him when he was out injured. We saw what the Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener experience did with this offense. It wasn't really productive. It looked disjointed, and you were missing that veteran presence. Well, Carr was asked what he's seen from this Rams defense coming off the bye week as they get ready to play a team that's looking to get to 500 on the year, and that always seems to be a thorn in the side of this black and gold bunch.
Young, physical defense, great front. You know, they run and hit at linebacker, safeties, you know, getting picks, corners, veteran smart players, you know, good players. And, you know, they disguise their looks. They show you one thing and do three different things from it. You know, they do a great job with the front, moving the front. They play their zones. They when it's, you know, they play their man, you know, when they know where their help is and all those things, they do a really good job. They're really well coached, you can tell. You know, some of the things you watch, some of the things that stand out just over the years, you see that they're well coached, but you see a young, hungry defense. And, you know, especially over the last few weeks, they've played really well. I know they didn't have the result they wanted this last game, but that doesn't mean everything. You know, when you watch the tape over and over again, you see who they are, and they're really, really physical, really, really, really good front, really good team. You know, we have our work cut out against this team for sure.
You mentioned how good the front is, and obviously they've had Aaron Donald for forever.
Yeah.
Like, what do you see from their defense? Like, how have they made change?
Oh, yeah. I mean, 99's not there. You know, that's the biggest change. But, you know, they're still getting so much production and pressures from, you know, 5-6 different guys. And, that speaks to how they drafted, you know, the guys they've added. That speaks to the talent that's in those rooms. It speaks to the coaching, you know, and putting them in position, right? So they've done a fantastic job in continuing to create pressure and create problems for offenses. I've said this, Aaron Donald's the best football player I've ever played against. You know, he's unbelievable, probably from the greatest draft class ever too. That's a joke, but he is a good football player, and he was a walking Hall of Famer every day he was out there. And anytime you lose a guy like that, again, you don't replace Aaron Donald, but you know, the guys that have stepped in have done a fantastic job of creating pressure and creating havoc to give their team a chance to win.
Derek Carr there talking about Aaron Donald at the end, obviously a guy that you were worried about, you know, racking up those sacks. That's something that Derek has been really good at, and this Saints offensive line has been limiting those sack numbers. And you, Jeff, asked Derek about this, about keeping those numbers low this season. He's only been sacked 7 times, and here's what Carr had to say.
Derek, I think you've only taken 7 sacks in 8 games. I think that's the number. Was that a focus going into this year, limiting that number specifically?
Yeah, I think first you got to give credit to our offensive line. They've played really well. In some of the past games against some of the people that we've played. So our offensive line has done an outstanding job. And whenever they play well, it allows me the freedom to play the quarterback position how you want to, you know, manipulate guys and take a half second here. You can move this guy to make that throw, you know, instead of just having to find a quick one to keep the, you know, chains moving and things like that. So, you know, I think a lot of that credit just goes to our offensive line and how well that they've played. Even though there's been guys in and out, those guys as a unit, just their togetherness and their unity, you know, has really helped push us as an offensive football team. And so, you know, me personally, you know, just trying my best to throw them away when I can. You know, I know I got an intentional grounding. I think that was last game and or two ago, one of our last home games. And but that's me just trying to find somebody to throw it away, so, you know, to eliminate that negative play. Now, it ended up hurting us, but I'm just, you know, a lot goes into that. You know, it's not just all in the O-line. It's me making good decisions, getting the ball. If someone does come free, hey, get it out, you know, second, you know, let's not make that bad play worse, right? And so, you know, there's been times where I've just dumped it at AK's feet or, you know, on a bootleg. It's not there, you throw it away. You know, it's like, yeah, it's not what you want, but you live to play the next down. And so we've tried to limit that just as a team, but I think, number one, our offensive line has done an outstanding job.
And real quickly, Derek Carr was also asked, this team's focused now, 1-2 straight, coming off a bye week. You got the LA Rams in the Superdome. What is this team locked in on?
Rams, 1-0. Rams, 1-0 this week. That's it. Yep. But we can't think ahead, can't look behind. You know, that's what the bye week was for, to self-reflect and all that. But it's focused on the Rams and trying to get a win, because they beat us last year.
Yeah, they definitely did. It was a Thursday game. We talked about that a lot, Jeff, too, how it was just really unfair for this team on a short week, having to go out to L.A. and expecting to put any kind of, you know, really game plan together that was going to work and be favorable for you?
I don't know if unfair is the word, but it's definitely was not helpful. You know, I think Sean Payton, you know, when he would be asked way back when, it's like, oh, do you like playing on Thursdays? Like, I like playing on the home team,
right?
Because it's a big difference when you're the home team, and the Rams had that. You know, they played like the team that was ready, and the Saints played like a team that was not. But either way, you know, you look at it and you say, okay, where do you get better with Derek Carr on the field, right? And I think there was a lot of negative energy toward Derek Carr last year and throughout the season. You had some boos in this building, and I do wonder, you know, how much of that, if there is any kind of shift in that, because I think a lot of it was people were out on Dennis Allen. A lot of people were out on Dennis Allen, even going into this season. People were out on Dennis Allen, and they viewed Derek Carr as an extension of Dennis Allen. Now DA is gone, and I think you kind of just have to look at Derek and say, what is he, and is he a part of whatever's next?
Right.
Or do you have to just bite the bullet and move on from him and deal with whatever fallout there is from a cap perspective? And I think when you just look at the numbers and you just look at his performance this season, it's like, okay, who's your better option? I'll tell you one guy who's happy to have Derek around is Darren Rizzi, because having him at the quarterback position makes this team look a lot more competent from an offensive perspective. And you talked about the sack numbers, right? Derek Carr has been sacked 7 times in 8 games. He's been sacked 3 times in their 4 wins. He's been sacked 4 times in their 4 losses. And he'll heap praise on the offensive line, and that's what a quarterback should do. You know, he knows where his bread is buttered.
Sure.
You know, and they haven't played terribly, but they've been in a difficult situation. You're talking about a rookie left tackle, Trevor Penning changing to the right side. You've had, you know, a revolving door of interior linemen. It's been anything but as planned on the offensive line, and they've done reasonably well. But, you know, you look at the 3 games Spencer Rattler started, he was sacked 14 times in 3 games. Granted, you went against the Broncos, you went against the Chargers. Those are two of the NFL's better defensive units. I think that those 3 games kind of showed you, like, okay, you know, the quarterback is a factor. Like, QB play, you know, sacks aren't just an offensive line stat. They are also a quarterback stat. And you look at some of the younger quarterbacks in the NFL, you look at Caleb Williams, a guy leading the league in sacks. It's not because the offensive line is getting whipped on every play. A lot of it is you're trying to extend. You're not getting the ball out. You're not understanding when a play is dead, and you're taking a negative play when you don't have to. When you extend the play like that, you end up with holding penalties. You end up with all of these other issues. And one thing Derek has done really well this season is get the ball out of his hands and keep the Saints in positive game script situations. Right now, there's been a couple scenarios. You look at the interception against the Chiefs where, oh, yeah, he tried to throw it out of bounds, didn't get it far enough, and it's a terrible interception. Against the Falcons, he tried to throw it away, and it ended up being a grounding penalty. He mentioned that. But when you don't have playmakers on offense the way the Saints are set up this year, you don't have guys that can bail you out of bad situations, you've got to keep yourself ahead of the chain so you can run the ball, so you can take advantage of Alvin Kamara, so you're not constantly trying to convert 3rd-and-13, 3rd-and-15 when you don't have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, or whoever else.
Yeah, you look at this team right now, there's still questions. Obviously, that wide receiver room, who's going to step up and be the guy other than an Alvin Kamara or Taysom Hill in this offense to be that big play guy? And obviously, Marquez Valdez-Scantling has certainly stepped up and been that exciting piece to this offense. We haven't, you know, had around, it seems, for a little bit. I know Rashid Shaheed was doing some amazing things, but really impressive how MVS has just come in and fit seamlessly in the offense. You want to see that continue. Now can that route tree expand even more for a guy like him instead of just being that deep threat?
Yeah, it's a good question. And how do you continue to kind of involve him in this offense? Kevin Austin got called up again today.
Right.
It's the last time you can call him up in terms of you get three. This is his third. Dante Pettis, same situation. This is his third call-up. So after this week, the Saints are going to have to make some more difficult decisions in the wide receiver room in terms of you know, you're calling Kevin Austin and Dante Pettis up for a reason. Right? Equanimee St. Brown is in that mix too. You're not calling him up. So if you continue to want a guy like Kevin Austin in this offense, you're going to have to sign him to the active roster, and that means it cuts somewhere else. And as we established, like, there's not a ton of roster spots that you're just like, yeah, get rid of him, you know? And so, no, but, you know, MVS, definitely a pleasant surprise for this team, and it adds an athletic element, a downfield element that if he wasn't here and he wasn't doing that, I think you would get different looks from defenses. And because you've established that he can be that threat downfield, and you're going to throw to him, right? Like, even in situations where they weren't completed, you were attacking downfield with MVS. Now, one of them ended up in an interception that Taysom Hill threw, but you were still forcing them to account for MVS downfield, and there were 3 guys on him, so they're accounting for him. They're not just saying, you're not throwing to that guy, and that changes the looks you're getting, and that's valuable. So you know, from a, it's a, definitely a personnel win for the Saints to have brought him in week 9 and have him be impacting games. But you got to continue to force, keep teams honest, right? If they start to go one-on-one, if they don't have guys back to account for that, you got to attack them.
Mentioning the wide receivers, Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yards to their Catch for the Coast program this season. Venture Global innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Their current donations at $25,110. We're going to take a break here on First Take. When we get back, more audio here from interim head coach Darren Rizzi, also Cam Jordan, as the Black and Gold get ready for a bout against the LA Rams, who are 5-6. The Saints 4-7. We'll see what comes out in this one. Actually, the Saints are underdogs in their own building this evening. We'll see how that ends up playing out for them. Definitely looking forward to seeing how they can rise up and maybe take advantage of being the underdogs in their own house. Want to take a break? Be right back after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into First Take, brought to you by Caesars Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Looking at the main game in action right now, who dats are interested in. The Atlanta Falcons currently have a 7-0 lead over the LA Chargers.
And that's despite missing a 35-yard field goal. Fun fact.
Young Hoku missed one again,
yes,
huh?
Young Hoku. But yes, he did. He missed one.
Yeah, right now there was a 1:40 left in the first quarter there. So that action winding down as the Atlanta Falcons have a 7-0 lead. Bijan Robinson scoring a touchdown in that game. Pittsburgh versus Cincinnati is tied up 7-7. The Indianapolis Colts have a 7-3 lead over the Colts at 0-0. Seattle Seahawks and New York Jets. Ooh, what a game that is to watch, huh? And also, Houston Jags scoreless, and Arizona Minnesota is tied at 3-3. The Washington Commanders have a 7-0 lead over the Tennessee Titans. We mentioned in the first hour, Jeff, that Marshawn Lattimore still a no-go for the Commanders over there, but looking like he's trending in the right direction. Maybe be back next week for them, or they might have a bye week. And then they come back to play.
Yeah, they have a bye, and then they come back to face us.
So just in time, Marshawn should be ready for the Saints.
But they won't have Austin Eckler for that game. He's dealing with a concussion. I believe he went on injured reserve. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. Brian Robinson is going to be probably their starting running back. He just had a 40-yard touchdown run. Some interesting football going on. We'll see how it goes. I think that game will mean a lot more if the Saints win today, because then they're going to go out to New York and play the Giants. Although it's a rested Giants team, it's probably the most beatable team in the NFL right now. They lost Dexter Lawrence to a dislocated elbow.
Yeah. They seem to be actively going for that number
Theo
one pick
Johnson
right now.
Theo Johnson got hurt too. Yeah, I don't think the Giants are going to win another game all season. And that's why you get to this point in the year and it's like, all right, so there's teams that are still kind of holding onto the rope. There are teams that have let go of the rope.
Right.
And so you can take advantage of those matchups. But that's true of everybody, right? That's true of all the teams that are in the running. And, like, you look at, okay, the Bucks, they're playing the Panthers this week. Now, it's an interesting one because the Panthers are still playing hard.
Right.
You know, and they seem to be improving. They took the Chiefs down to the wire last week. Chiefs had to kick a field goal at the buzzer to win, and Bryce Young's playing a little better. Maybe he's, you know, kind of coming into his own at the NFL level a little bit. So those are kind of the matchups where, hey, okay, so the Bucks, you look at that and you just chalk up a W for the Bucks, but what if they lose? Right? And then I don't know. It's an interesting time of year for sure.
You mentioned those teams that are still holding on to the rope. The Saints definitely in that bunch now.
No question.
Still got fight left of them. And Cam Jordan actually talked about how this Black and Gold team still believes and is holding on to any kind of hope that they do have left for the postseason. Here's what Cam said.
The mental shift. When you hear from up top that you're changing, you know, head coach positions, there's one or two ways you go. You know, you see teams that tank and you see teams like last year, you know, Raiders that have success. Now, which one do you want to be? I mean, everybody in here at the beginning of the season after 2-0 was convinced we were going to the Super Bowl. You lose 7, the whole world is convinced that you've got nothing left. It's up to us as players to keep fighting each and every down. And it's not like we weren't. We were giving everything we had. It's coming up short. These games weren't blowout games. You weren't getting embarrassed in some of these games. More of the games that we've lost have been one possession, if not less than 7-point possession games at the end of it. So we're right at the cusp. For whatever reason, you start building confidence when you start closing those games out. So you see us close out, you know, 2 games ago, we closed out the fourth quarter. Last game, you see defense close out. That's what you love to see. That's how you build confidence, and that's how you move forward saying, hey, yes, we can score and create big explosives, but at the same time, on defense, we can create turnovers and give back to the ball to an offense that can create those big plays.
Love hearing from Cam Jordan, just for the fact that you would never guess, just for the way he sounds, that this black and gold bunch is 4-7 on the season.
No, but I mean, that's part of the reason, hey, you want these veteran players, because they keep you pointed in the right direction. Typically, when you see a team fall off the way, you know, the way you do at the end of the year and fall into that top five pick range, it's a lot of times younger teams, it's teams that, you know, they don't have that experience of finishing out seasons, and the Jets are the exception of that. The Jets are going to be the Jets, and now they got to figure out what to do with Aaron Rodgers, if he's even going to come back. That was a big conversation this week. That's why, you know, the Saints, it's, you know, they're going to go out, they're going to try to win a game. Like, this is not a team that's even considering, hey, what if we don't win this week? They're thinking about, we're beating the Rams this week. And that's what we've heard. You know, it's a cliche, and it's a little annoying when you're trying to ask a question and every answer is Rams 1-0, but that is where you have to be. Like, as annoying as it is to get answered
with
cliches,
everyone's on that same page,
how you need to be if you're going to go win a game. You can't be thinking about the Giants, you can't be thinking about the Commanders, you can't be thinking about the standings
and how
many people are in front of you. You got to be thinking about, how do we go 1-0 this week, win the game, and then you worry about the rest. And again, like, when I ask about, hey, you know, well, how do you keep that momentum? And you're like, 1-0 Rams. Okay, fine, whatever. But, you know, and I asked Darren Rizzi about this. He actually said he didn't remember, which is interesting to me.
Because
back in 2015, Darren Rizzi was a special teams coordinator for the Dolphins. Dan Campbell takes over as the interim coach. Joe Philbin's gone. They go 2-0. They win their first two games coming out of a bye week. Then they lose four of their next five. So, like, that interim boost is a thing, but it's not always sustainable. So how do you sustain that? I asked Darren about it. He didn't really answer the question.
You mentioned that. Here's exactly you're asking Coach Rizzi about maintaining that bump, especially coming off the bye, being that interim head coach. And here's Jeff with Rizzi.
Looking back to 2015 with Dan, that team also kind of started 2-0 after the interim switch. Is that experience that you look back to and kind of say, okay, what went wrong? Because I think they've won, what, like four losses in five games. Is that a challenge, like a unique challenge as an interim, to avoid, you know, that kind of energy boost fading and then turning into just kind of...
Yeah, I didn't remember that. I think the biggest, the most important part of this whole process that we're in is to keep your mind off of the big picture, right? We got to keep our mind off of you know, prior. We got to learn from what has happened in the past. We got to keep our you know, not look past this week. And realize why we've had success the last couple of weeks and what can prevent us from having that. Now, I mentioned on Monday when the guys came in, we did a little bit of a State of the Union where we're at in all three phases. I think Nick asked me that the other day about, did we do a self-scout? And that was really the message on Monday. The message on Monday was, this is why we've done well the last couple of weeks. This is what can get us beat. And so that's really been more the focus on us. And again, I understand your question, but the relevance from 2015 to now, you know, although shout out to Dan, and congratulations to him for winning another one yesterday. I just really trying to keep the focus on the here and the now.
The here and the now, as you heard from Coach Rizzi, and I guess everything kind of like blends together. You don't really lean back on past experiences too much, although I would think that he would remember that fondly with Dan Campbell in Miami.
Well, I think he would remember it if they went 5-0, right? When you go 2-0 and then, you know, after the next six games you're 4-8, it's not as memorable, right? So
very ho-hum, right?
Yeah, and you know, I was thinking about that, like, okay, this season, if Darren Rizzi doesn't end up being the head coach after this season, which is a question, like, one way or the other, you're going to do a coaching search, and he might be the best option, but it's going to be a coaching search.
Right.
And if you end up with a new head coach and they clean house, like, I wonder, will people remember, oh, yeah, I remember Clint Kubiak? You know, I remember that. Oh, he was your coordinator. And then, oh, yeah, it's just kind of a weird subplot of how much of this team do you want to keep together and how much of it do you want to move on from? And I think a lot of it's going to depend on how do you close out this season. Is it something that's worth keeping going? And this is the game he came on talking about. This is the same topic. Like, this is a game where you get to decide, is this something worth keeping going? Because if you are on a three-game win streak and you continue to put wins together, and, you know, there's two things you take out of that. One is that this roster was not as far off as we were made to believe during that seven-game losing streak. And also, you may have something in your head coach. And so those are all conversations that you have. You lose today, and those conversations cease to matter. So I think it's a big game.
Coach Rizzi was asked too, Jeff, about what are those biggest areas he wants to see improvement coming off the bye, offense, defense, and special teams.
You know, we've talked about defensively, we've got to limit the explosive plays. We can tackle better. That's, I think we've been better the last couple of weeks. But overall, you know, through the whole season, that's been, you know, I've mentioned that it's been a little bit of our Achilles heel. You know, offensively, we've shot ourselves in the foot, particularly in the second half. You look at some our penalties in the second half, our third down in the second half hasn't really been what we wanted it to be. And so that's, you know, another area on offense is we've done a pretty good job of moving the ball over the 50-yard line. But if you know, kind of do a deep dive on kind of like the plus 49 to the plus 30, for whatever reason, in that area of the field, we haven't been great, maybe closing out some red zone drives. And so that's really been the focus there. You know, special teams, again, some real good things. We're number one in the league right now in kickoff team and starting field position. We've done our punt return team's been really, really good. Our kickoff return, we had a nice return last week, but that's got to get more consistent. Our net punt could be a little bit better. Matt's done a real good job with the inside the 20s and limiting punt return yardage. So, you know, we've looked at all those things, and those are the couple things that just jump out to me.
One of those things, too, I am hoping to see more of is the usage of Taysom Hill. Mm-hmm. That last game against the Cleveland Browns was a masterpiece in Taysom usage. I felt like all the right maneuvers and spots were called there. It was just, you know, we've seen way too many times, I feel, in the second half of games where, for whatever reason, Hill ends up disappearing and you don't end up using him to a full advantage. And Rizzi was asked about Taysom usage now going forward in this offense down the stretch.
The more he's on the field, the more effective we've been. And all the times I've been here, there's that fine line between getting too much and not enough. And so we got to do a good job of managing that. And I thought Clint and the staff the last couple of weeks, I think his usage has been really, really good. And obviously he helps us on special teams as well. He has a 42-yard kick return. I mean, and so, you know, I think sprinkling him a little bit everywhere is where we're at our best.
Yeah, I kind of joked about that on the Inside Black and Gold podcast. Plenty of sprinkles, extra sprinkles for me of Taysom. I love to see what he can do in this offense, and it just seems to add another element that defense is just – it's hard to plan for him.
Get him in your fantasy football lineups, people.
Yeah,
that's
man.
What, like, I've been saying this for the last 2 years. Like, from a tight end perspective, you can't do much
better. Can't go wrong, right.
From a consistency
You don't have to even have worry about him as the flex position
right.
just because he's listed as a QB.
The only question is whether the Saints are going to actually get him the ball. And – oh, last week, you know, that was one of my points going in was like, you know, against the Falcons, you kind of let it get away from you. He had a bunch of touches on the opening drive.
Right.
I think he had kind of a throwback screen kind of type of situation on the second drive. Then he didn't touch the ball again until after the 2-minute warning in that final drive. So, you know, it was like, hey, you know, this will happen. It does happen. We saw it happen with Pete Carmichael over and over again of like, you kind of got it in your head and you were going to do it. And then the game plan got away from you. The game flow kind of made it difficult to run the ball and you never got back to it, but that's a mistake. That's a mistake you got to correct. And I thought they did that to the most extreme degree possible against the Browns. And so I think you need to split the difference there somewhere. I need to make the thing about Taysom is there's his impact on the field, and then there's just his impact for existing. That you know, like when you're the Rams and you're trying to come up with a game plan for this week, I want that other team to have to spend that extra time coming up with a plan to stop Taysom Hill. You know, they wanted to celebrate Thanksgiving too. They didn't want to stay late and come up with an extra, you know, what happens when they do this with Taysom Hill? What happens when they do this with Taysom Hill? How do we handle this? How do we handle this? And whether you do it or not, having it be a threat is an advantage to you. That's why when he's not a part of the game plan, it's a problem because you make life so much easier on the other team.
Yes.
And so I think, especially when you're down playmakers, there's no excuse for not at least forcing other teams to prove they can stop it. Now, some teams can stop it. Some teams are better than others at stopping it. But until you show me, I don't believe you, right? I'm going to force you to line up with these extra hats and get beat up and prove that you can not get blown off the ball and tackle this guy at the line of scrimmage, right? And then if you can do that, fine. We'll hit you with somebody else. We'll do something else. But you can't just talk yourself out of it. And I think that's what's happened in the past. And I don't think that's going to happen this year. I think you're going to see them. He's going to get hammered into that line the rest of the season. And we'll see how he handles it from a health perspective. But this is, you know, he is the best weapon you have right now.
I agree with you, too, totally. If you got Taysom available in fantasy, you got him on the bench, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Get him in the lineup.
No question. I benched Dallas Goedert to play Taysom Hill this week, and I don't feel bad about it at all.
What we're going to do is take a break here on First Take. We'll be back with more right after this. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. That'll lead you into game time. Atop the Caesars Superdome with the call, Deuce McAllister, Mike Hawes, and on the sideline, Jeff Nowak. We'll be back with more First Take, though, right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Back here on First Take as we're getting ready for that 3 o'clock kickoff between the Saints and Rams. Some games going on in action across the NFL right now. You got the Atlanta Falcons have a 7-6 lead over the LA Chargers. Cincinnati Bengals up 14-7 over the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Jags at home trailing the Houston Texans 3-0 over in Minnesota. The Vikings and Cardinals all tied up at 3 apiece. The New England Patriots have a 9-7 lead over the Indianapolis Colts. And in New York, the Jets, Jets up 14-0 over the Seattle Seahawks. Wow. Jeff, I saw someone's comment on the Twitter sphere saying it looks like Seattle is sleepwalking this game. Sleepwalking in Seattle. Well, in New York, actually, this matchup.
Yeah, sleepwalking for Seattle.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's one of those games if you're a Saints fan, it's like, okay, they're 6-5. You need them to pick up a loss or two, you know. So I don't know why we're sitting here talking about the playoffs. We really shouldn't be, but hey, might as well take advantage of it while you can still do it. But no, it's going to be this last rush is going to be kind of fascinating because I don't think there's a lot of really good teams in the NFC. I really don't. Like, I think there's a lot of competitive teams in the NFC. But, I mean, other than the Lions and the Eagles, it just feels like there's a whole bunch of everybody else.
And I'm curious, honestly, to see what the Eagles do in Baltimore tonight because they're to me, haven't been as dominating as the Detroit Lions. And maybe that's me being an Eagles fan and a pessimist.
I think the difference to me is the Eagles' defense is elite, elite, elite. And the Lions' defense is good.
Dealing with a lot of injuries too, right?
Yeah, and like that's to me that's the differentiating factor. Where I think the Lions are better on offense than the Eagles and more consistent.
Correct.
Whereas the Eagles are kind of just this close group, like the Lions' offense is just all over the place all the time, and in the best possible way. The Eagles' defense is a lot, our offense is a lot more predictable in ways that you can't stop, and that's been the case for years. And you know, as long as you're not stopping it, they don't need to be unpredictable.
Well, that punch, that 1-2 punch of Montgomery and Gibbs for the Lions is pretty lethal.
It's elite. I mean, I, you know, normally I would be like, man, you took a running back number 12 overall and you don't even play him as the bell cow. What the heck are you doing? In that case, it's like, man, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Although, you know, Jahmyr Gibbs needs to stop tweeting out or posting pictures of his personnel group, you know, like do you see that? He posted a picture of a whiteboard in the running back room and it had all their protection ID calls.
No, I just thought he did something with Sonic and Knuckles. I didn't know he was putting
out. Well, they did that too. But yeah, he posted a picture of it and it had all of their like protection, you know, the words you use to call out those protections. And that's not what you want other teams to know. So they probably had to change that this week. And I'm sure he got reamed out in the team meeting. Please don't do that. Don't share our inside information.
Looking at this matchup, we got Rams and Saints coming up, 3:05 kickoff here on WWL Saints Radio. A big one of concern, obviously, with this Rams offense, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp, the wide receivers, and right now your secondary, meaning the Saints secondary, obviously no Paulson Adebo. You traded away a guy like Marshawn Lattimore. So you're going to be relying probably on Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry as your outside guys. Darren Rizzi talked about the improvements and the developments of Alante Taylor and Kool-Aid McKinstry, and here's what Riz had to say.
Well, listen, I think you're really two different animals there. I'll start with Alante. You know, I think I mentioned this last week. I think Alante this season throughout the year has played outstanding football. You know, every defensive back is going to have their, you know, their moments where, you know, every single defensive back in this league at one point or another is going to get a ball caught on him or, you know, give up a play. He's played really consistent football. He's made a bunch of big plays, both near the line of scrimmage in the backfield and way down the defensive backfield as well. So he's been a huge, huge factor for us this year. And so I expect him to continue to do that. We need him to continue to play really good football. You know, Kool-Aid's had some ups and downs, obviously, because of some injuries, and he's kind of been in and out. I thought Kool-Aid played a consistent game last week. I thought he prepared himself to play. He's got to continue to do that. Kool-Aid's played in a lot of big games in college in his career, obviously, in his life. But, you know, in this stretch run here at the end, we're going to need him to step up and play really good football. So, you know, obviously, Alante's had more time on task and need him to keep playing like he's been playing and need Kool-Aid to play as consistent as he did last week.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Jeff, obviously the Rams matchup last year, Alante Taylor ended up getting benched in that matchup. Hopefully that still resonates with him and has something to prove against this wide receiving core, because we certainly need Alante to be that alpha dominating guy in the secondary out there, because this is a tough matchup. You look at one of the better wide receiver duos, I think, in the NFL.
Yeah, and you know, for Alante's season, you really have to look at, okay, well, the first 8 weeks he was in the slot and he was right. playing in the slot. And then the last three games, which obviously the bye week, he moved outside. And, you know, to me, what you've seen with him is a guy who has the tools. He has reps where you're like, perfect rep, takes it away. You know, Jameis tried him three or four times on the edge, and he just, you know, was step for step in phase, knocked the ball away, never had a chance, right? It wasn't a situation where, oh, well, the receiver just didn't get it or the ball was overthrown. Like, he made it so you could not complete a ball on him. And that's something that, okay, I need my number one corner to be able to do. Where Alante's gotten into trouble is he's made mistakes, right? Like, he's made technical errors. Like, Jerry Jeudy cuts across his face. He's trying to force an outside release, and he just lets him go. And then you can't catch up to him, and it ends up being a 90 or 89-yard touchdown. Like, that alone is going to impact the game. Even though you played so many good reps throughout the game, that one blown rep is impactful. And so those are the plays he needs to eliminate, and I think he can. I mean, when you see the plays where he just locks down versus those one, okay, you got to fix this. And I think he will. And so that's why I look at this game. You come out of a bye, you've had a chance to kind of reflect and do a self-scout and figure out what you need to fix. This is where you need to fix it.
Getting that fix in, hopefully, for this Black and Gold Bunch, getting a third straight victory. We're going to take a break here on First Take. Coming up at 1, the Bud Light countdown to kick off with the Cajun Cannon. Right now, we are taking a break and be back with more as we wrap things up here on First Take after the break on WWL. Closing down shop here on the First Take as we get ready for the Bud Light countdown to kick off coming up next at 1 o'clock. Well, Jeff, another one here in the Superdome, and then we'll be on the road next week. But obviously, all eyes and, you know, thoughts are on this matchup with the L.A. Rams. A game definitely at the beginning of the year you thought was going to be a tough matchup, as is, because I just feel like this Rams bunch with Sean McVay, go back to the no-call what you want, but a team that always seems to be a thorn in the side of this Black and Gold bunch.
They score points.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Score points. So you gotta match them, right? And that last year, the reason you lost, in my opinion, is, you know, you tried to set the tone early. You didn't, right? You drove the ball. You didn't score. You got to take advantage of opportunities today, right? Like, you got to put the ball, whether it's 3 or 7, you got to put the ball through the hoops. Like, you got to do something. You got to get points on the board. I want to be playing from ahead. That's what the Saints have done the last 2 weeks, and that's why it's felt winnable, is you were playing from ahead both games. I don't want to be playing from behind. I don't want to be trailing.
Yeah.
You know, you need to get out fast. You need to start well. And, you know, I'm not going to make any predictions for this game. I'm genuinely curious how it's going to go.
We are going to wrap things up here on First Take, heading off to the Bud Light countdown to kick off next. Jeff, enjoy the game on the sideline. Be talking to you afterwards. Hoot out, everybody, and be back with more of the Bud Light countdown to kick off with the Cajun Cannon next.